Welcome to Garden Talk with Dennis Hill and Mona Dyer, sponsored by Bookcliff Gardens. Here's Dennis and Mona.
Well, good morning, everyone. Along with Mona Dyer, my name is Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Bookcliff Gardens, where we help you grow. And we're talking about gardening here in Western Colorado. Boy, is there gardening going on in Western Colorado.
Oh, my goodness.
If you have a question or something on your mind, we would love to talk with you, try and give you a hand. Give us a call. The number here is 245-1100, 245-1100. We'll get you on and do our best to help you out. 245-1100. You know, it was just a gorgeous morning.
Did you see the sunrise?
I did.
Oh, my.
Patty and I lost our dog, our not-so-little doggy Tilly, last summer in August. And we're still talking about a replacement, but we've got some things coming up. And training is a big thing for us, and time and stuff. But anyway, I don't have my pal to make me go for a walk every morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tilly was just...
Out the door. Let's go.
She was old laser beam eyes. What do you mean you're not putting clothes on? Get up and get out,
and
man.
I don't care about your clothes. Where's your shoes?
Yeah, I don't care about your shoes. Get out there. Yeah. But I saw it out the window, and I didn't have my glasses on. I thought it was a reflection maybe of something from in the house or something, but it was just this red, fiery orange, you know, almost a prism-like thing. And I ran over, grabbed my glass. It was the bottom of that cloud bank to the east.
It's amazing.
It was just on fire. And then it kind of went to peach and apricot
and pink
gold.
And purple and lavender.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It really was pretty. I mean, with Tilly, I get out there pretty much every morning. Mm-hmm. She insisted on that.
Of course.
We go early and see the sunrise pretty much every day, unless it was winter and then it was just dark. But that's...
And then she would just glare at you.
Yeah, right. No, we'd still go out. Our personal record is 16 below.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, there was a bit of bundling. She thought it was awesome. I mean, she was, you know...
Big old fuzzy dog.
She was about three-fourths hair. Uh-huh. I mean, and... yeah, Patty and I would vacuum up, you know. I mean, we could knit small dogs with the the dust puppies that were under the furniture. Yeah, start naming those things. I mean, we could have knit small dogs out of that hair. But she had her insulation. Yeah, I had to add a little bit to me, you know. I work hard at my own special insulation here, yeah, there was a little bit of bundle.
Everybody has abs. Mine are just insulated with tacos.
Yeah, no. People talk about a six-pack. My boys say I have a pudding pack.
Okay, so, then.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
But anyway, no, it was just gorgeous. I mean, it really was. And really a nice rain we had a couple days ago. You know, I am just and yesterday morning it was kind of chilly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went out to my truck to come into work early and you know, there were water drops and stuff like that. And so I got in the truck, started it up, hit the windshield wipers to clear the windshield, and they didn't move.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You could see your breath yesterday morning.
Yeah. But it was so fresh and clean and clear. I mean, it was just
knocked the dust
invigorating. It was really, really nice. Yeah. Almost 0.2 inches yesterday.
Great.
You know, we're about 0.7, 2/3 of an inch below average for the month. We still got 2 weeks. And, oh, by the way, there's a storm supposed to hit us tomorrow. Pretty good chance. Weather Service says, I think, 70%
Great.
Chance of rain, maybe a chance of some snow tomorrow morning. It's moving in tonight. I looked at the Weather Service radar, and it really didn't look like there was a lot. But they say the Sierra's Donner Pass is getting hammered today, which is great, and hopefully they leave a little moisture in that storm to benefit us. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one hitting us Thursday, so woohoo!
That's awesome. Good.
So it is gardening time. I mean, Patty and I were out last week. going nuts and trimming and pruning and cleaning and raking and all that stuff. And then the crew, the maintenance crew, Bookcliff does our yard maintenance, and they came out yesterday, and just, man, it's clean as a whistle.
It's looking pretty nice.
I drove up. I was talking to Patty on the phone, and I go, did the guys come out? She said, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, man. I said, man, I can see it from down at the end of the block. It was
<That's> awesome.
But, no, it is. It is time. We're getting a lot of folks asking about pruning. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I think there's still room in my class. I didn't look.
Yep.
Okay. I'm doing a second rose pruning class later on this morning at 11 o'clock. So if you want to kind of check in on that, there is room. I tend to limit numbers because we actually go out and whack on a poor defenseless rose bush amongst the gasps and groans. And yeah, no, they aren't defenseless. Yeah, I came in with blood all over. And
you looked like you'd been sacking cats.
That's what I do. I bleed like a pig, yeah. There is room, and so if you want to do it, give a call, get your name down. There is a nominal fee. There's a $5 charge for the class, but it's pretty good. We'll sit down inside, and we'll talk a little bit about just general pruning and tools and techniques and timing and things like that. And then we'll go out front and whack away on a
right. Bring a coat. It's a little chilly this morning.
It
so
is.
Just
yep.
You know, make sure you've got layers.
Yep.
So that when he gets you out there amongst the shrub roses, you know, maybe you can save yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was looking at my vest. I have that
all kinds of stickers in it.
That canvas. No, there were blood spots on the front. I go, oh, I guess I need to wash it, but I need it every day right now. And so it's like, I'll do it next week.
It's all right.
Laundry day's coming. I'll do it then. So I do have that. And it's a great time to do some pruning. And I've been whacking on stuff for, oh, heck, better than probably 3 weeks. So, you know, people are kind of wondering about that. You did a pruning class, last month, I guess, sometime.
Right, about three weeks ago. Uh-huh, general pruning.
And, you know, we always get questions about time to prune. And people phrase it like, when should I prune my lilac or when should I prune my juniper or whatever plant it is because I don't want to kill it. And our answer is you will never kill a plant by pruning it at the wrong time. I mean, you may have some consequences that you may not have wanted by pruning. But pruning it at the, quote, wrong time will never hurt the plant.
Right. The plants will forgive you.
That's right. They may not bloom. There may not be fruit. There may be some other issues, things like
that's
that.
That's the consequence.
And stuff. But you know, it's not the end of the world. The plant will recover and eventually get back on track and carry on. But generally, March, early spring, February into March, is kind of the pruning time. I mean, I've pruned pretty much almost year-round, depending on the thing and the weather and the time of the year and, well, mostly my mood. But I'm just ticked off. I'm going to go prune something, you know. No. Fire the chainsaw.
Good grief.
Yeah, no. And, you know, Patty and I have an older yard, and it does. It just needs cleaning up and renovating and just work. But I am talking about pruning roses at 11 o'clock this morning. So if you have time, probably it takes about 2 hours for me to wade through the whole thing. I'm hoping for an hour and a half, but it kind of depends on the questions. I did the class last week, last Saturday. We had a lot of questions,
right,
man. We wandered far afield.
Right, and it was a very interactive class.
Well, and I love
that. That's what we will call it because you all were loud.
We were not.
You were loud.
No, we were not.
Raucous.
They were good people.
They were good people. I didn't say they were a problem.
Oh, okay. I see where this is going.
Yes,
all right.
Indeed.
Anyway, we have Sherry on line one. Let's get to her. Hey, Sherry, how you doing this morning?
Well, just fine. My question is, I've got a mungo pine that is growing taller and taller, and it's starting in to block our view. So can I trim it from the top?
Well, mungos are hard, pines in general. The problem with them is that if you cut back, you know, into a growth where there's no needles, especially, but cutting back, you know, kind of what we think of shearing, those stubs, those branches will almost never resprout. They just die.
Oh,
it is. It's a difficult thing. I mean, you can cut back by removing entire branches. So you're removing it back to a main stem or a side branch or something like that that has mm-hmm. live growth on it. You can do that, but just shearing that guy back, trimming him back, getting him, you know, he's 6 feet tall. You only want him, you know, 3 feet tall.
Right.
You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be very disappointed with the results.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very nice mungo pine. Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful mungo pine.
Right.
Yes.
It's hard. And actually, we hear this a lot, Sherry, because a lot of those pines that, you know, they call them dwarf mugos. And the problem with them is that they're grown from seed. They're seed sourced plants, and that seed has the tendency to be smaller than the average, you know, run of the mill mugo pine, which is called a Swiss stone pine. Well, a Swiss stone pine is normally going to reach 20 or 30 feet tall in old age. Okay. So dwarf is kind of a subjective term here. That means anything from 5 to 15 feet or, you know, 18 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're smaller than the parent, but that's still a lot bigger than most people are expecting. We went to name varieties a few years back. We sell mostly a variety called Slow Mound, and they're not seed sourced. They're grafted. They're actually grafted plants. So they're very predictable. We can say that guy is only going to get 4 or 5 feet, 3 to 5 feet in old age. And which is honestly, I think, what most people are looking for. And when you're faced with a situation like yours, I'll tell you, most of the time people end up removing the plant. I mean, long term, you're kind of stuck. And I wish I had a better answer for you than that. But that's the honest truth of the matter. It's hard to manage those things. I mean, sometimes people will limb them up, you know, kind of prune them from the bottom, so to speak. So they kind of form a clump or you know, and they kind of form a little miniature tree-like form. And sometimes that works for the situation. But for a lot of times, no, I got to look out that window or I got to see above it to get out of the driveway or it's encroaching, you know, it's taking up half the walkway up to the front door, or things like that. I don't have good answers there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Well, I thought I had heard you give this answer before, but I just wanted to check and see.
Hoping for something. No, I'm afraid not. I just don't have a good one. I mean, there are ways, you know, if you have a plant that's getting kind of oversized, getting out of hand. You can see that this is not fitting well inside the space that you have. Well, there are some things we call it, you know, candle pruning. And so in the spring, you know, they push out those buds. We call them candles, right? And they're kind of those long cylinders, brown usually. They stretch out, and then the needles kind of fall off or grow out, as it were, you know, from there. Well, when those candles have kind of fully extended, we usually break them, just break them off. You don't remove them completely. You have to allow the plant to grow a little bit, but you can break them in half or even two-thirds or three-fourths. And what that does, it's going to grow, but instead of growing, let's say, 4 inches, maybe it only grows 1 inch. It slows down that rate of growth, and maybe it's only delaying the inevitable. But it buys more time. The drawback to it is that it's kind of a tedious little job because there are about 3 gazillion candles on that
thing. There are a bunch.
And you have to do each one,
uh-huh.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it thickens the plant up. It makes it look real nice and bushy and dense. But, you know, it's just a bit of work usually in May to do that.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I enjoy your program.
Thanks, Sherry, for calling. You take care, all right?
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, hey, let's, we are time for a commercial. Let's get that, actually. As per usual, we're a little late for it, so yeah. So we'll do our first. Yeah, I know.
Pretty close, though.
Close enough for us. And so let's get these first commercials out of the way. And folks, anyone out there, if you have a question, we'll do our best to help you out. The number you can reach us at is 245-1100, 245-1100 with Mona Dyer. My name's Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk. We'll be right back.
I don't have a lot of color sense. Tile Meister was super. When I would go in to pick out tile, they were so good about helping me that they made it all fun. It is so pretty. I wish people could see it. It's just gorgeous. But the best part of all was how nice everybody was. I really hated to see the project end because everybody had become my friends.
Call 244-TILE. Make your home look nicer with the Tile Meister.
Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Because at Montrose Ford Nissan, new 2017 Nissan Titan 4x4 start at $25,999. March into savings over $15,000 off a new 2017 Nissan Titan Platinum Reserve Diesel. And discounts up to $12,000 off 2017 Ford F-150 4x4 dealer demos. Get more at MontroseFordNissan.com.
Number 16810, MSRP 37095, sell price $25,999. Number 17154, MSRP 65440, sell price $54.29. Number 16866, MSRP 64965, sell price $52,956. After all offers plus tax and fees, includes deal and handling $349.50 and $331.18.
Can-Am machines are designed to make your heart race, and now they're available at heart-stopping prices at All Terrain Motorsports. For a limited time, get up to a $2,000 rebate on select 2018 models, like the thrilling Maverick X3, the all-enduring Defender, and the heavy-duty Outlander. Spring fever ends April 30th, so head to All Terrain Motorsports today at 3080 I-70 Business Loop in Grand Junction. Certain restrictions apply, subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Cole with Driveline Service. It's that time of the year again to get your vehicle ready for the Moab Easter Jeep Safari. Let us help you get that locker setup you've always wanted. We're offering $100 off each complete differential locker purchase and installation. Error Posse, ARB, Eaton, and Auburn, we'll have you ready to hit those trails in style. Like us on Facebook to claim your discount code. From gears to rears, Driveline Service has you covered. 970-243-0263.
Solstice Senior Living at Mesa View Residence live a vibrant life full of friendships and activities. Give your parents the gift of easy living in a community where they don't have to worry about transportation, housekeeping, or cooking. Our all-inclusive approach lets Solstice Senior Living at Mesa View Residence focus on what matters, their lives. Solstice Senior Living at Mesa View, located at 601 Horizon Place in Grand Junction. Visit solsticeseniorlivingmesaview.com today to learn more. Live life vibrantly.
The weekend's coming. Do your plans include dining out? You know, for thousands of kids in the Grand Valley, the question isn't where or when, but if they're going to eat. Many kids are on District 51's breakfast and lunch program, but what about the weekends? We can make a difference through Kids Aid. Just $5 feeds a child for a weekend, $20 for a month, $200 feeds a kid for the entire school year. To find out how you can help, go to kidsaidcolorado.org. The Backpack Program from Kids Aid. Only hungry to learn.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Check in and stay up to date all day long. Listening online keeps you in touch while you work.
I need to know what's going on.
At 1100KNZZ.com. This is Garden Talk with Dennis Hill and Mona Dyer, sponsored by Book Cliff Gardens.
Well, welcome back, everyone, with Mona Dyer. My name is Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Book Cliff Gardens, where we help you grow. And we're talking about gardening here in Western Colorado. If you have a question, we would be delighted to talk to you. Give us a call, and we'll do our best to help you out. The number here is 245-1100, 245-1100. But we have Randy hanging on line one. Randy, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're well. What can we do for you?
Is there any reason that you start seeds in the little bitty pots? Can you start them in like gallon-sized pots as long as you use the sterile seed starter soil?
You know, you can start.
So you don't have to keep bumping them up?
Right, right.
To bigger pots?
Yeah, you can start them in a bigger pot, but the seeds are a little bit more difficult to get going in a bigger pot.
Right.
The issue with starting seeds, with germinating them in the small pots, is it's easier to keep the soil damp, and it's easier to keep that soil warmed up. A seed needs to be in soil that is warm.
Toasty.
It's nice and toasty. And so starting something, say, in a number one pot, a gallon-sized pot, it takes more heat to get that soil warmed up to the point where the seed will germinate.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with starting the seeds in a big pot. It's just going to be a little spottier in terms of your success rate.
Right. I mean, there's a couple other things.
So if you're going to have to control the environment around that pot much more closely,
right,
and not have it in a drafty place,
yes,
in the house, and
yes,
stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. I mean, in Randy, there's a couple other things too. The first one I can think of is that nice sterile seed starter mix. It's kind of pricey
and
so it costs you more because you got to fill up a bigger pot for the one plant. But the other thing too is that you usually don't get 100% germination, and so, you know, putting them in little pots. Okay, you've got some blanks, you know, maybe one in four didn't come up. You can take the successful ones, the good, strong, vigorous ones, and shift those on. You can kind of be a little bit more selective in your end product, so to speak, and do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
The last issue, and it's less of a problem if you have the seed starter mix, but it's easier to overwater in a great big pot than it is in a smaller pot. That smaller pot tends to dry out, you know, more quickly, obviously, than the big pot. You know, sometimes we get issues where people just get a little over anxious with things and they're just watering a little too much. And seeds are kind of delicate. I mean, it's a little fussy getting those guys up and going. And if you overdo it that way, then you get poor germination. We really think you're better off starting little and then just work your way up. I mean, maybe you start in a little cup, a little 2-inch or 3-inch pot, and then make the one jump up into a gallon. You know, but you don't have to do 3 or 4 steps to work your way up there. But I think you're better off to start a little bit smaller.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, guys, for the information. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Take care, Randy.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye. Yeah, no, I mean, and those are good questions. You know, people kind of, and just some of those rules about, you know, germinating seed. You talked about temperature. That is so vitally important. I mean, that's, you know, well, after water, that's probably the most important thing that you have to kind of watch.
Mm-hmm.
We're not quite so concerned about light yet.
That little plant pokes up out of the soil.
Once they poke up, now we're getting real concerned about light. But before that point, you know, where the true germination happens It's about temperature and water. Okay, once you get emergence of the seedling, then it's about water and light, and yeah, temperature matters too. And you know, it's timely talking about this because this is the time. If you're thinking about starting some tomato plants, you got some special heirlooms or something from grandpa's garden, mm-hmm. or got something online or whatever, this is a time to do it. We like to do it about the middle of March. You know, people's tendency is to start too early, and then they end up with these poor, sad, leggy, floppy things that right. are just awful, and usually end up buying plants from us anyway. And so starting them the middle of March and get them going. We like using little cups. We sell trays, mm-hmm. of, you know, little flats of cups that you can fill up with the seedling mix. And that's a special mix. Randy mentioned it. And it's important to use that because it's different from regular potting soil. Potting soil can be germinated in, but it's harder to do. It's easier to kind of wander astray a little bit, where you get a little more leeway with a good seedling mix, and water well, keep them damp, and then get them in a light spot. And honestly, folks, most of the time, that means grow lights.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean a bright room or a big picture window, although that can work sometimes. But a lot of time, it's always so amazing to me how much lighter it is outside than it is even in a bright room indoors. It right. is so much brighter.
Even a shady spot outside
yeah.
is not as bright as a bright window inside.
Or is brighter than a bright window. Yeah.
Right. I said it wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry. And the other thing sometimes that we don't realize is a lot of the new window panes have that
yeah.
UV light
right.
protector on it.
Yeah.
And so the spectrum of light that your plants need isn't actually coming inside.
Right. That's a good point.
The light is somewhat deficient.
Yeah.
And so the plants are just, they're struggling, and you can't figure out why. Well, it's because of that lovely UV filter that's on the windows.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stuff that keeps your couch from turning a funny color and keeps your carpet from fading.
Yeah, right, exactly right.
It's why your plants won't grow.
Right, and so if you're going to do it, you got to kind of just jump in and mm-hmm. commit to it. And so, you know, people have a little spot. I mean, heck, they'll do it down in the basement. Fine.
With a little grow light.
With a grow light.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that light needs to be right down on top of mm-hmm. it. You know, Aaron McIntyre had an article last week or the week before in
right.
the Sentinel.
Right, it was a good one.
It was. It was a really good article that she wrote. So if you still have your newspapers, you can drag that out or get it online. But she did. She talked about that. And she uses grow lights. And mm-hmm. and most folks that are real serious, she's a very avid gardener. She mm-hmm. likes playing in the seed catalogs during
She's
the winter
awesome.
Time, try some new things, and you know, giving it really good light is so critical to success. Because most of the time, people, I mean, they brought in their seedlings, and it's just sad.
You know, big long lanky stems instead of little short stubby bushy.
Right. You want a husky plant.
You do. You
a
want something
plant.
that's ready to go out and meet the world.
And that's about light mm-hmm. generally. And I mean, it is. It's literally putting it right down on top of it. And if, you know, you have to adjust it as the plants
mm-hmm.
grow.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, it can't be up in the ceiling. That's too far. Light intensity drops
well,
off dramatic.
Okay, but here's another way to look at it.
If
moving the light is a pain, move the plants.
Well, that's what Aaron talked about.
Yeah, move the plants.
Yeah.
Raise those plants up so that they are right
yeah.
underneath the light.
She
and
put
then,
books underneath
right,
them.
And
yeah.
as the plants
right.
grow, yeah. remove the shelving just so that the plants always have that
sink them down. Yeah.
Right. That way, you're not having to tinker with the light fixture
right,
all the
right.
time.
You can
it's a great
that.
Idea.
It is. It's a really good idea. So anyway, yeah, this is the time we've been selling seeds like I can't believe.
My goodness.
I mean, they have been running out. You know, and you know, we're talking about mostly gardening here, vegetable gardening right now. And if you're not aware of it, there are two groups of vegetable crops. There are warm season crops, which most of us think of when you think of a vegetable garden. the run of the mill things, the bread and butter are the warm crops, and mm-hmm. we're talking about things like tomatoes and peppers and green beans and corn and
cucumbers,
squash, melons, mm-hmm. yeah, things like that. And they like it warm. It is too early to put those outside. Okay, those guys, you can maybe start thinking about a month from now, but 6 weeks is probably safe. Usually the end of April into the first of May, kind of depending on what
the
weather's
doing. That's if you're putting the plants out.
That's right. Cool season crops need to go in
right now.
Yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really do, because they don't like hot weather. They need cool temperatures. And so if you're thinking of growing some spinach, you know, for fresh salads or something like that, leaf crops, spinach, lettuce, Swiss chard, kale, things like that, those things should be planted right away. Mm-hmm. The cool crops, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbages, Brussels sprouts, all those guys, the root crops, and there are just a few of those. I mean, you know, radishes, carrots, rutabagas, turnips.
Beets.
Don't forget the beets. Potatoes. All should be put in the ground quickly. And peas. If you want to grow peas. And let me tell you, if you have kids, if you have little kids or grandkids around, you got to put a couple rows of peas in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you won't get any in the kitchen, okay? I almost guarantee
they won't make it inside.
No, uh-huh. They will not. I mean, you know, Patty and I, when our boys were little, I mean, I think we'd get, and I did a lot of peas, and I think we got one or two meals a year of peas.
Not because they didn't grow.
Those rotten little kids would go out there every afternoon and just strip those things.
Rotten little kids?
Well, yeah, they are. They are rotten little kids.
I'm telling on you.
They're not very little.
They're not very little now.
Oh, you tell on me, they'll say, oh, that's all? I've heard lots worse from him. No. But they are. They're just so sweet. I mean, you talk about getting kids to eat their veggies. I mean, they just gravitate. I hear it over and over again. I mean, people put peas out, the kids just mow them down. Yeah, I mean, they're
awesome.
Just grazing all the time out there. It is awesome. One thing that I did want to mention, I should have done this at the very beginning. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
Indeed.
That's right. Happy St. Patrick's Day. A lot of folks wait till today to plant their potatoes, mm-hmm. and we have great seed potatoes.
We do.
There's four varieties.
We've got Red Lasota, we've got some Russets, we've got Yukon Gold, and we have a very limited number of those little blue fingerlings.
Blue potatoes, yeah. are so cool. And these new varieties of blue potatoes, I mean, sometimes it turns people off. I think it's the coolest thing. They keep their color after they're cooked.
Uh-huh.
You know, the early ones, they just went white when you cooked them. These stay blue.
Yeah, they're blue all the way through.
I've shared this before. This was a few years ago. We went to a potluck for the 4th of July, you know, group of friends, and we had a big potluck together. And one of the women brought a potato salad. It was delicious. And she used little Yukon Golds.
Yes.
Little red potatoes.
Yes.
And little blue potatoes.
Red, white, and blue
and
tater salad.
We had a red, white, and blue potato. And it was so cool.
Awesome.
It was awesome. It was really, really neat. Let's see. We probably, Kay, you hang on, dear. We're just a few seconds away from our commercial break. So to be fair to you, why don't you hang on? We'll get you first up after the break. And anyone else out there, if you want to talk to us, have a question or something, we would love to check. Give us a call. The number here is 245-1100-245-1100 with Mona Dyer. My name's Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk. We'll be right back.
ICAR Gold is the highest training achievement recognized by the collision industry.
About 10% of the body shops in the nation actually achieve ICAR Gold status. We've spent the time and the money educating our technicians so they can repair your car properly.
Customers care about that. That's their second biggest investment, is their automobile.
This is Jamie.
And this is Dana from Superior Body Shop. Give us a call, 245-6303.
Superior Body Shop with Superior. Jumpstart your spring and save during Murdoch's Ranch and Home Supply Spring Into Action Sale going on now. You'll save on a variety of backyard essentials like lawn care and garden supplies. Power through yard chores with equipment from the best brands in the business, Honda, Steel, and Husqvarna. Now's the time to buy chicken feed and supplies, even baby chicks. And this Tuesday is your last chance to order live bee colonies on Murdochs.com. Sale ends March 20th. Visit Murdochs or Murdochs.com today.
I don't even know what bank Grandpa used.
The money was under the mattress. What do we do with it?
If only Mom had made a will.
Would your loved ones know how you want your possessions and assets to be handled? March is National Write a Will Month. The Mesa County Fundraisers Network invites you to a free seminar on the importance of making a will and how to make sure your wishes are carried out. Join us Thursday, March 22nd at 5:30 p.m. at the Mesa County Central Library. Space is limited. Register now at mesacountylibraries.org or call 243-4442.
If you depend on propane, depend on ProGas. They have tanks up to 1,000 gallons to buy or rent, and you can also schedule automatic deliveries. ProGas is affordable propane for the Grand Valley and now in Rifle, DeBeck, and Parachute. Call for special offers for new customers at 858-1001 or visit ProGas1001.com.
1100 KNZZ, dependable weather.
Mostly sunny for Saturday, Grand Junction and Delta, 60, Montrose, 59. Becoming mostly cloudy Saturday night, 36. Rain and snow showers for Sunday, 47. Mostly sunny Monday, 51.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. More fallout from the Friday night firing of the deputy director of the FBI.
President Trump tweeted that the firing of former FBI deputy director Andrew McCabe was a great day for democracy. Others say they believe it is part of an effort to discredit the special counsel investigation. Trump's personal attorney, John Dowd, is speaking out today. He's saying he's speaking on his behalf and not on behalf of the president, but he says it is now time to end the Mueller investigation.
Fox's Ellison Barber. Russia hits back at the UK as tensions between the two increase.
Russia kicking out 23 British diplomats in a Cold War-style tit-for-tat after Britain booted a similar number of Russians. It all stems from
the attempted murder of two people.
The victims, a renegade Russian spy and his daughter, with a Russian poison. Britain's ambassador calling it an attack on the international order.
Fox's Alistair Wanklin, Fox News. We report, you decide.
News Radio 1100 KNZZ is now on FM at 92.7 in Grand Junction, 97.1 in Delta, and 93.5 in Montrose.
You're listening to Garden Talk with Dennis Hill and Mona Dyer. Thanks for listening. Sponsored by Book Cliff Gardens.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Along with Mona Dyer, my name's Dennis Hill, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Book Cliff Gardens, where we help you grow. And we're talking about gardening here. If you have a question, give us a call. The number you can reach us at is 245-1100, 245-1100. But we've got Kay. She's been hanging on quite a while. Let's talk to her first up. Kay, good morning. How in the world are you?
Good.
Great. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a couple questions about container gardens. Okay. I would like to plant some strawberries in an old stock tank, and I'm wondering how deep the soil needs to be.
Okay. The first thing that I'll tell you, if you're doing it something like that, you're going to need some drainage. in that stock tank.
Right.
Now, generally, a stock tank has a big plug that you can pull out to drain the thing. But you need more than that. Okay, you need to be punching some or drilling some holes in the bottom of it. And otherwise, you're going to waterlog things, and that'll be problematic. To grow good strawberries, I think you need probably at least a foot, 12 inches of soil. You might be able to get away with 8, but you want a decent depth of that. And then below that, I mean, if you wanted to fill the thing from bottom to top with good planting mix or potting soil or something, that'd be great. It just gets pricey.
Really expensive.
To do something like that. And so you can put, you know, lousy soil down there or gravel or, you know, styrofoam packing peanuts or something like that. To kind of act as a filler. Now, if you do something like gravel or whatnot, you want to make sure that you put a piece of weed barrier fabric on top of the gravel before you put the potting soil in. Otherwise, that soil will just filter down in and amongst the gravel and kind of sink down. And so this will kind of act as a filter fabric to keep the soil on the top and the gravel on the bottom, okay? But 8 inches, maybe the shallower you get, the harder it will be for the plants to thrive, okay?
Okay.
And part of that is just the volume of the soil. More volume, it's easier to keep it evenly moist. You'll get bigger fluctuations in wet and dry with a thinner layer of soil. But the big problem that I worry about is temperature. And being above ground and the sun beating on it in the summertime, that soil's going to get toasty. It's going to get pretty warm. And in general, roots and the critters that live in the soil that the roots depend on, they don't like those hot temperatures. They don't like it to get hot, real hot during the day and cold at night and hot and cold, hot and cold. They like it more moderate.
More stable.
Exactly. Down in the dirt, down in the ground, you don't have those wild fluctuations. You have that big mass of soil down there. Up above in a raised thing like the trough, it's going to do that. One thing I would suggest, if it's possible, try and put the horse trough in a spot that gets some shade in the afternoon. You know, if it gets a good morning, half day worth of sun, that's enough for strawberries. They'll be perfectly happy with that. And that shade will help prevent that soil from getting really overly hot during the afternoon. Because it'll really affect the growth of plants. It they don't like that. And so doing something like that or even putting some things on the west side of the horse trough, will help. Just something to shade it, if that makes sense.
Sure. Okay. All right. And so just as a general rule, if you're going to do container gardening, trying to decide what size or what height to put vegetables in, those that are right on top of the ground that are just boxed up is better because of the heat issue.
Exactly right. Now, whenever people are talking, and maybe they just don't have a yard or they're in an apartment or don't want to dig things up and so they'll put a tomato in a pot. There's a few rules that I give them. First of all, go big. Bigger is better when we talk pot size.
With the container.
Yeah, with a horse trough. You've got that one covered. That's a good size. Little, 6 or 8 inch pot is going to be a miserable failure. I mean, get it big so the plant can grow. The second rule, use great soil. Okay. Use potting soil or a good planting mix or something like that. Don't skimp on that. It's tempting, it can be expensive, but it will pay off in the long run. Trust me on that one, okay? The third one is what I talked about with shade. In tomatoes, a lot of times people growing them in pots get what's known as blossom end rot, where you get that little dried out black, brown, scabby spot on the end of the tomato. That's a water imbalance, just where things aren't working quite so well. We see it a lot on potted tomatoes. And it doesn't ruin the fruit usually. You can cut it out and eat the rest of it, but to avoid it, you do like what I just talked about, you know, maybe scooting the pot or the planter around where it gets some shade in the afternoon. Helps like crazy.
Right. And the material that the pot is made of, that the container is made of, is also significant. A ceramic pot, if it's out in the full hot blasting sun, that container, the outside of that container gets just blistering hot. Well, that heat transfers to the soil. Yeah. And so the root system is affected by that heat that's transferred. And in an example of a tomato plant, the root system panics and winds up affecting the fruit because the plant is just trying to save itself.
Right.
It does whatever it needs to do to save its root system. And that means, hey, this fruit is not worth it because my feet are too hot. And okay.
Is that what they say?
They do. That's, I've heard them scream it.
Wow.
I have. I've heard it.
Wow.
You're getting me off track.
I'm
here.
Sorry.
Anyway,
no, I'm not sorry.
The container, the material that the container is made of is really of importance.
Well, color. I mean,
and color
dark,
as well.
Darker
yeah.
colors are going to get hotter, lighter. Now, the horse trough is kind of semi-reflective.
Right.
That actually helps you a
right,
little bit.
Right, it does.
Here. But still, shading that guy will be a good idea.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Kate.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We got about 4 minutes to go. A couple things that we wanted to talk about. The first one is, oh, boy, are we in the nursery business.
Holy smoke. How many trucks this week?
Four.
Big trucks.
Four. Three of them were completely full semis. I mean, oh, my gosh.
And so we've got plants. And did I mention we've got plants?
Oh, the trees and and they're gorgeous.
They really are.
They're looking good.
But they're not all sorted yet. And so
what do they look like? What do you like to say?
It looks like it got dropped out of a helicopter.
That's exactly what it looks
just
like.
Just kind of everywhere.
They are.
So we're doing our best to get it sorted out. Wow.
Maybe by next week, and we'll see. Because, oh, by the way, we have four more trucks coming.
Yeah,
there's one coming today, actually, a small one, and then three more trucks next week, maybe a fourth. Next week.
My goodness.
This is the time of year where it's crisis management and just run and scramble. And, I was writing a friend an email this morning about some stuff and telling her how busy I was. She was looking for some ad copy and hadn't gotten to it. And I said, oh, we're just screaming busy, just running all these trucks. And, oh, you take care of that. I'll do some stuff. And I said, yeah, I'm just, let me tell you, aches and pains and falling asleep in my chair about 8 o'clock every night. And then it was dot, dot, dot. Well, wait, that sounds kind of like a normal night.
It is. Stop, drop, and roll.
Ice packs on the knees. It's just the time of year.
Hey, and the material looks gorgeous, though.
It really does. And so if you're looking for things, we don't have everything quite yet. Mm-hmm. In fact, the big full semi that's due to show up Monday is all trees.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of trees right now. Mm-hmm. We've gotten trees from three main suppliers, but, shrubs, and they're all, in groups. Okay. We've got these guys here, but there's no organization.
Right.
There's
no rhyme or reason.
So if you're looking for something, we're probably going to be just as lost as you.
We'll wander back and forth together. That's fine.
We've got tags on everything, so we know what they are. We're in the process of getting signs on everything, and so that'll help. But it's just one of those things where we just have to say,
we stand in the middle and laugh.
I mean, it is. It's just, oh my goodness. I think there's still stuff down below in the yard, and it just. What are you going to do?
Yep.
I mean, we just don't have much
indeed
options on that. And
so you wanted to talk also about pre-emergent, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Thank you. And this is the time to be thinking about it. I mean, our general recommendation is wait until the forsythia bloom. Mine are, in fact, I had a flower open day before yesterday.
Time to put it down.
And so they're not really in bloom right now, but pre-emergents are just awesome. magic in your yard that saves so much work later on in the summer. They kill or prevent seed from germinating. In fact, I think I have a little blurb in the Sentinel column this morning. And so, yeah, don't wait. We have a great one. It's called Dimension, and works wonderfully well on all things. So anyway, we are out of time. Mary, I'm sorry we didn't have time to get to you.
Hey, Mary, thank you for the eggs, dear. They're delicious.
Oh, she's the sweetheart. Anyway, come see us. We're easy to find. First Street, a mile and a half north of Patterson. Bye-bye.
Hiring is important. People are what make your business work. But how do you find the right talent? ZipRecruiter makes it simple. One click sends your job ad to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. Their smart matching technology will instantly alert quality candidates about your job. That means you'll start getting great candidates with the right experience almost as soon as your job is posted. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The right candidates are out there. This is how you find them. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
People from businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. We're so confident ZipRecruiter will get you better results than anywhere else. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hello, this is Pamela Krebs with Pinnacle Hearing Aid Center. I'm inviting you to bring a guest and join me on March 28th for a complimentary lunch. Try the latest in hearing aid technology. Take the devices home with you. Wear them on Easter Sunday. Church and family gatherings are often some of the more challenging listening environments those suffering with hearing loss must deal with. There's absolutely no obligation or down payment required. I hope that you will join me. Please call 970-628-4927 to reserve your seats.
At Superior Body Shop, we're a locally owned company. We've lived here our whole life.
As a family-owned business, our customers are our friends. Some of them become our family. That is our biggest priority, making sure that they get a quality repair done to their vehicle.
We want Superior Body Shop to be that shop that, yeah, I've had my vehicle repaired there. They're the best. Go see them. This is Jamie.
And this is Dana from Superior Body Shop. Give us a call, 245-6303.
Superior Body Shop with Superior.
One Source Lighting, the only one.
LEDs have taken over the lighting world, and One Source Lighting has an LED for almost any need. They offer free lighting design help, they have contractor discounts, and they're always open to the public. Come see all the exciting new styles on display in Western Colorado's largest lighting showroom, and from now through April, save 50% off all lighting fixtures in stock. One Source Lighting, 552 25 Road, next to Seacrest Auto Body. Call 243-2400.
For Crime Stoppers of Mesa County, this is Kathy Daniels. The Grand Junction Police Department needs your help to identify the male subject involved in criminal activity. About one